Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm Macca, here's Tass.
Thank you, Macca. And Macca, we're going to change gear now. We're not going to talk about the virus anymore.
No.
Or at least I hope we're not for the rest of the show. And in case you didn't know, because I didn't know till last week, that next week is Foster Care Week. Did you know that, Macca?
It actually starts tomorrow.
I know, but did you know that? Only because you've read your briefing notes.
I did.
To talk to us about what Foster Care Week means, we have Deb Tabaris, who's actually a semi-regular on our show and probably should be on our show more regularly.
She should.
Deb Tabaris is the Chief Executive of the Centre for Excellence in Child and Family Services, which I believe is based in Heidelberg. Good morning to you, Deb.
Good morning. How are you all?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well.
It's
very
cold. Is it cold and wet?
It's cold and wet, but as a friend said, with those numbers today, COVID numbers, we're all a bit happier.
Yeah, that's true. It's moving in the right direction. I think the trend is actually going in the right place, which is exactly what we want. So, Deb, tell us, what is Foster Care Week?
Foster Care Week goes from the 13th to 19th of September, and it's basically a celebration of the work of our incredible carers. As you would know, you may not know, there are about 12,000 children each year that come into care in Victoria, and we're always looking for loving homes for kids who come into care. They don't always stay in care for long. Many of them go straight back home after a little while. So we love our foster carers, and it's important to celebrate them, and probably more than ever, given the times we're in.
So foster care children, are they what used to be known as the wards of the state?
That's right, Taz, they are. And it's a really horrible term, really.
It's a shocking term, actually. I'm glad we don't use it anymore.
But even out-of-home care is not a great term either. The kids are giving us lots of advice at the moment who happen to come into care about changing that language. So I'm looking forward to hearing what they say we should call it, because it's not great. It's not great language.
It's Macca, Deb. What sort of numbers are we talking about, either nationally or in Victoria, in terms of the number of kids that are in foster care, and are there a lot of kids that are wanting to go into foster care, so out of particularly an institution, into foster care in people's homes? Can you give us a bit of a handle on the numbers?
Yeah, definitely, Macca. So in Victoria, the total numbers of kids that come into care each year are about 12,000. Out of that 12,000, usually there's about 1,600 children that are looking for foster carers. And so it's not a huge number, it's quite a small number, because most of the kids that come into care, they go and visit extended family called kinship care. So of that larger number, we really...
Like a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or something.
Aunt or an uncle, as the sort of preferred way to care for children who can't live with their biological parents. And in Victoria, that's grown exponentially because, you know, as you know, many of these kids, they do want to live with their extended family. And so from our perspective, carers leave, foster carers get older and leave, and we need to replenish those carers each year. And also some carers, really, they just want to do respite care. You know, they want to do the odd weekend. So it's really important that we bring new carers in to be able to care for the kids that are coming through our doors. And honestly, there's no break in this. COVID has not stopped the need for carers.
Deb, tell us a bit more about those 1,600 kids. Give us a sense, give us a profile. What are they like? Where are they from? Why are they in this situation?
Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise you to know that lots of children that come into care are really little. they're quite little. You know, they're under five, the vast majority of them. And their parents at that point in time really aren't coping. There could be a range of things going on. Mum might have experienced extreme family violence. There may be what we would call safety and neglect issues for those children. And so what we need to do sometimes is bolster those families and support them, or otherwise remove them for a period of time, and then work with mum and mum particularly to be able to sort of work out what she needs, what sort of support she needs. But these kids can be, you know, they can be 12, 13, 14-year-olds right the way through to little tiny babies.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about these kids in that fashion, you know, they are... they're pretty special, and it's really important that we get a focus on them. I mean, COVID's been really interesting for us, Tess, because to be honest, we haven't really generally, there hasn't generally been a lot of visibility of children, and that's why this week's pretty important for us, because we want to get the attention back on them.
Deb, because we're an LGBTIQI plus radio station, we've just changed our acronym, so I've got to get my teeth around that. Because we are a queer-based radio station, tell us, are there, you know, are there queer kids, and are there kids who end up in queer families? And what's the sort of, what are the rules and regulations around all of that at the moment?
Oh, look, there are definitely queer kids. There are definitely, I'd have to say, the I'm going to struggle with the acronym too, Taz. So the LGBTQI plus community has played a pivotal role over the last 20 or 30 years in creating safe homes and safe spaces for kids, kids who are queer but kids who are not. And our community understands better than anyone the concept of found family. Those who aren't related by blood but accept and support and nurture these kids. And often, you know, we get huge numbers of inquiries from LGBTQI people to be able to become foster carers. And we really want, you know, especially during this week, for those individuals and families to come forward and say, look, we really want to engage in this and become foster carers.
Do you still get examples of families who chuck their kids out because they're queer, and therefore these kids end up being foster kids?
Yeah, we do. And sadly, we do. You know, during the course of last week, we put some videos out because actually it was Child Protection Week last week, and there are some really, really difficult stories to hear of adolescent children who actually... they leave. Sometimes they're kicked out, but they actually just leave because it's so volatile.
Deb, you'll need to speak into the mouthpiece a bit more clearly, if you don't mind.
Sorry.
That's better.
In fact, what we find is kids just actually sometimes just leave, Taz. It just gets too difficult. It's too volatile. A really, you know, angry environment. And some of the older kids find themselves homeless. Rather than coming into care. So, we hear too many of those stories, sadly, still.
Very sad indeed. Now, just going back to the organisation that you lead, the Centre for Excellence, do you actually manage foster kids? Is that part of what you do?
So what we do is we run a thing called Fostering Connections. It's funded by the state government, and it's basically a statewide recruitment campaign and a phone line and a website so that those that are interested in becoming foster carers can pick up the phone. It's 1-800-013-088, and there's a website, www.fosteringconnections.com.au, and people can inquire about becoming a foster carer. Under that umbrella, we've got the 25 organisations across the state who those inquiries go to very quickly, who can then bring those people back and say, right, let's get started on the journey of you becoming a foster carer. Why do you want to become one? What's your interest? Do you want to be a respite carer or a long-term carer? And so our interest is basically the recruitment end.
And what are the criteria to be a foster carer?
But really, to be honest, from in terms of becoming a foster carer, there are very few criteria. I mean, you can have your own children. Really, what we're looking for is people who can provide a loving home and are prepared to do the training to become an accredited carer. usually that training takes between 3 and 6 months. And then you can make some choices about whether you want to do long-term foster care, short-term, et cetera. And so from our perspective, you know, it's pretty open. I mean, we're saying to you, come forward, talk to us, and let's find out if it's what you want to do. Clearly there's some checking processes that we need to do for carers in terms of, you know, any sort of history in the past where we wouldn't want to have those people caring for our children.
Such as?
I mean, if you've got a history of abuse against children, then you won't be becoming a foster carer.
Yeah, obvious. I mean,
but that, of course, may not be apparent, though. I mean, I look, that's an obvious one, but it may not be apparent that you've had a history of abuse. It may not have been reported or recorded in any way, and you may not admit to it.
That's right. But often with the assessment process we put people through, there's references, there's home visits, there's a range of things we do to make sure that the families that these kids are being placed in are the families that we want to be carers, but also that they want to be carers and they're up for it. Because whilst it's incredibly rewarding, we just want to make sure that it's going to stick, and that, you know, everybody involved in this is going to get some enjoyment out of it.
So finish off your sentence.
So the checks with this, you know, are quite important for us, but from both sides.
I was just going to say thank you very much for your time. I just wouldn't mind you once again letting our listeners know what the number is for Fostering Connections, in case there is anybody out there who is interested in participating in this program. It's 1-800, if I recall correctly. 1-800?
1-800-013-088, and the website is www.fosteringconnections.com.au.
Great. Fostering Connections. Deb, thank you very much for your time this morning. Go and enjoy the rest of your Saturday morning. It is cool and gloomy and wet, but there is sun at the end of the tunnel, of course.
Thank you so much, Maker and Taz. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, take care. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass. When we come back, Emma Dawson from Per Capita is going to speak to us about superannuation. Tass.
Macca, would you ever foster a kid?
Look, I have thought about it.
You've fostered a dog, though.
Well, I'm not fostered a dog. I adopted a dog.
Adopted a dog. I'm sorry.
There's a difference.
I need to get my language right.
There's a difference, because when you adopt a dog,
you own us.
Well, as they say, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas.
Yes.
Fostering. Look, I have thought about it. I don't know whether, certainly when I was working, it would have been quite difficult because of the huge amount of travel I was doing.
I can imagine with a couple of teenagers running around, Macca.
Yeah.
You've got the room for us.
Yeah. Would I be the right influence, Tass?
Your values are not half bad.
Oh, not half bad. Does that mean
just stop
half
smoking,
good?
That's all.
They're just half good. Look, I think if you're going to foster a child, you need to have a passion to do that. And I don't have the passion to do that.
Mm.
And I think people that have the passion to do that, you know, there are appropriate checks and assessments made. They want to do it. And if they really want to do it, then I think that's a great thing. It's not something I'm passionate about. I understand why people do it, and I think it's great.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.